And let's move now to this important moment, because if it's 5 o'clock...
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5,
let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, held a briefing with reporters following the White House briefing and President Trump's joint South Korean press conference. He fielded questions, the Secretary of State fielded questions about the North Korea summit's fate.
We asked for things that are really very simple that, frankly, most nations in the world engage in. We asked them to stop firing missiles into Riyadh. This is not a fantasy to imagine the Iranians making a decision not to fire missiles into another nation and threatening American lives that travel through that airport. It's not a fantasy to ask them to cease engaging in terror. These were all a set of demands, the demands we put on the rest of the world.
Let me clarify that. That was him responding to Iran.
Right.
And saying that this is why they tore up the Iran deal. Now, you know, I watched that today with Pompeo, and I thought he was... very credible. He was thoughtful. He was polite with the press. The press was polite with him. He laid out a reason for the Iran deal that was far more articulated in a way that is understandable and acceptable than has the president. The president's articulation of it was, we gave him all this money and it was a disgrace. But what about it was a disgrace? Well, okay, there's been no, he put no meat on the bone, the president did, about what was wrong with the Iran deal. The problem with the Iran deal wasn't the Iran deal in and of itself or the payment of the money, because that was their money that we were paying them back. They wanted it in cash, which is a little unusual, but we, as opposed to transferring the money, we did agree to it in cash, and they did denuclearize. The problem has been their behavior since. And if the president had been able to really focus on that as an argument, I think he would have had more bipartisan support. Because Pompeo, I think, could win some people over with the argument that the all of the stuff that Iran has done in Syria and other places throughout the Middle East and the fomenting of terror.
Right, supporting terrorist groups.
And lobbing missiles in places or selling missiles that are getting lobbed into places. That's the kind of thing that you go, all right, now we got to do something about this. I think getting rid of the nuclear deal, though, doesn't necessarily help you because you could have done it another way. You could have added sanctions based on that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, this is what Pompeo said about North Korea.
We will do what it takes to make sure that this is a successful meeting, whether that's meeting with the North Koreans in some third country or whatever it may take. We are prepared. The president will ask us to ensure that we've done all we can to make sure that we have the real opportunity to have this historic successful outcome. And I'm not a betting man. So I wouldn't care to predict whether it will happen, only to predict that... we'll be ready in the event that it does.
All right.
President was downplaying that this afternoon, that expectations, managing expectations about the North Korean meeting, whether or not it happens, that we should manage expectations about there being some sort of positive development. He says, we'll see, kind of thing. But
he always says, we'll see. But he usually does it as a threat. Like Violetta's dad would do. Well, what if I wear this out? Well, we'll see. It's like that. We'll see.
Just wait and see what happens.
Yeah. As opposed to in this case, I think the president might have gotten, I know it's very hard to believe, might have rhetorically gotten ahead of himself when he said that this is all good and Kim Jong-un is a good guy and all that. And then he meets with President Xi from China, Kim Jong-un does. And then he comes back and says, hey, that's what he just did.
Bronco's right. Typically wrong as well.
Yes. So there was going to be a kind of a bigger question that's going to reign here. I'm just not 110% sure that we're going to get the kind of reaction out of this. As James Clapper just told us, and I think this is pretty fascinating, that when Kim Jong-un is talking about denuclearization of the peninsula, he doesn't mean just his own denuclearization. He means ours as well. Taking all of our nuclear capability out of the theater. land-based nuclear capability
right.
out of the theater.
So
that's an interesting. I think that's kind of a non-starter for the U.S.
Seems
as well.
Like it.
And you know, people, why do we keep forgetting that Kim Jong-un murders his own people? He's got labor camps where he starves people to death who are political dissidents. I know that seems appealing to some people in Washington right now, but I think that that's not in the value system of America as most of us know it. So I don't understand.
But
that.
It's what do you do? What do you have to deal? That's the person you have to negotiate with as leader of that country, and you have to look at the bigger goal of trying to denuclearize his capabilities and bring him to the table that way. You just wonder what's in it for him at this point and why he would agree to this.
I do like the way that the president earlier today was like, hey, well, you know, we'll keep him safe. Don't worry about it. Like it was very, very Godfather-esque.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ensure his safety at the meeting. You know, sort of like...
I will guarantee his safety, he said. Yeah,
Tessio is going to guarantee your safety at the meeting. That's the full, like, arc of what I heard there.
He'll be safe. He'll be happy.
Number five.
Country will be rich.
Sorry.
That's what he promised.
And my finger promised accidentally hitting that. Because we're not
going to move it along.
Yeah, let's go to this.
Number four.
There we go. All right. Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, or did you say Rosenstein, and FBI Director Christopher Wray have accepted President Trump's demands for an investigation into the Russia investigation, agreeing to share more confidential information about it with Congress, Republican members of Congress. The president's demand comes in response to a New York Times report claiming that the FBI used an informant to question two Trump campaign associates. Now, there's no evidence that the FBI infiltrated the Trump campaign, but that doesn't stop the president from saying this.
As you know, the Congress would like to see documents opened up. A lot of people are saying they had spies in my campaign. If they had spies in my campaign, that would be a disgrace to this country. That would be one of the biggest insults that anyone's ever seen, and it would be very illegal, aside from everything else. It would make probably every political event ever look like small potatoes. So we want to make sure that there weren't. I hope there weren't, frankly.
Whenever you hear a lot of people are saying, you know, he's just saying. Now, here is former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, who just appeared on this program, responding to the notion that there were spies inside the campaign.
I think the main thing, though, is what was the objective? Why did the FBI do this in the first place? And the objective and the reason they did it was not to spy on the Trump campaign, but what to determine and understand what the Russians were doing to try to infiltrate, if they were, the campaign, and what leverage were they trying to exert. So the focus here is on the Russians. I would argue that what the FBI was doing was their job, and they were actually helping to protect the campaign as a part of our larger political process.
But wouldn't you advise the candidate of all of that? Wouldn't you tell him that these people are trying to penetrate your campaign? Isn't there a conversation that could be had along those lines? That part, I don't quite understand.
That they didn't go to him and go, hey, because they didn't know how deep it went.
That
do you tip them off? Do you tip them off if you assume that maybe they're going to the highest levels? I mean, at what point
did
they
have to have that information that it very likely was going to the highest levels in order to not inform him?
Well,
and maybe they do. Maybe they have that.
If them with a known. A known intelligence-related person from Russia, this Veslenskaya woman that was at the meeting with Donald Trump Jr., would they know that she was there? We have to assume that they knew that as that was happening.
And that they knew she was a known intelligence
yes,
person?
For sure. I mean, we knew that almost immediately afterwards. I mean, she's just acknowledged, oh, yes, I'm an informant, you know. But they knew it. They knew who she was. She'd been around a long time. I think they had to know that. And so what do you do? Do you go immediately and stop the thing in its tracks? Or where do you, I mean, I think that's the real issue here. That's the problem that we find ourselves in. Their choice was, mm-hmm. We go now and say, hey, listen, the Russians are trying to get to you. And they may have been going to a completely innocent Trump campaign that was like, oh, really? What?
Or maybe,
oh, we got to do something about it. Or were they going to go in and then have them go, hey, they're on to us. So what are we going to do to get around it? And then it stops an investigation into something that really is a larger, grander problem, which is if there was some sort of conspiracy between the organizations. Mm-hmm. That's I think that's where, and we don't know the answer to
that.
It's
true.
Yet.
We don't.
So what do you do there? All right. So now, speaking of all of that, so I played this clip for Clapper from John Brennan, who was the former CIA director, who told Showtime 2 weeks ago that, hey, I know things you don't know, and this is not going to end well for some people who are going to find out that their own behavior is going to come home to roost.
I agree with the fact that consistently Bob Mueller and his team have been way ahead of everybody else. He knows a lot more than we do, and there is more to come. I'll give you an example of the indictment that was made public in February against the 13 Russians and some Russian entities. I had no idea about that. That was a complete surprise to me and many others. And I suspect that there are going to be other surprises that we don't know about now.
Hmm. As the president says, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means either.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Judy, what's coming up in a few minutes at the bottom of the hour?
Fly to the front of the line at LitFest June 9th and June 10th with a Fest Pass. Get yours before they're gone. Printers Row, litfest.org/festpass.
All right. Here's what we're going to do, because we had so much audio from the show for the Top 5 at 5,
yeah,
especially from the James Clapper interview that we did, mm-hmm, which is going to be up for podcast at WGNradio.com, that we're going to push the three, the two, and the one to the other side intentionally. Not because I forgot to do it.
Not like the other time.
No. Mm-hmm. This is a conscious decision on my part.
And it'll still be appearing in the 5 o'clock hour, not the 6 o'clock hour,
right,
as happened the last time we sort of forgot.
It was a slight mistake. You know, a guy can make a mistake, you know. All right. Judy Pilak is standing by. She's got WGN News. Then your three, your two, and your one.
Here comes the pit.
Brocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we've extended the Top 5 at 5 because we had so much audio from our interview with James Clapper, which is up for podcast right now at WGNradio.com.
He covered a lot of ground.
That we added a lot of that in. So now the fun part of the presentation begins. And not that it's not all fun, but some of it's less fun than others.
Number three.
Video taken by a Montana woman as she and her friend were questioned and detained by a U.S. Border Patrol agent after he overheard them speaking Spanish at a gas station has caught attention. The attention.
Gee, you think?
Of Border Patrol officials and civil libertarians. Ana Suda and Mimi Hernandez, both U.S. citizens, were chatting in Spanish as they went to buy eggs and milk in a small town 35 miles from the Canadian border. Suda said that's when the Border Patrol agent overheard them, and this ensued.
So can you tell us in the video, please, why you ask us for our IDs, please?
Ma'am, the reason I asked you for your ID is because I came in here and I saw that you guys are speaking Spanish, which is very unheard of up here.
Okay.
Just write your name, date of birth.
We have a... Excuse me. Just because our profile, right?
No.
Racial profile. Purple.
It has nothing to do with that.
No.
It's the fact that it has to do with you guys speaking Spanish in the store.
Spanish in the store.
In a state where it's predominantly English speaking.
Okay. Sounds good.
Oh, boy.
We don't like
Violetta, stay
here.
Away from there. Do not be caught speaking in another language.
They're going to racial profile you.
Well, it would have helped. Yeah.
Profile.
They had to get...
I wish they should got the word out.
Yeah, it would have been helpful if she'd gotten the word out. It would have been, it would made the case a little bit better.
Well,
still pretty.
No, really,
still,
it's a really strong case. So. She didn't need the word.
Still pretty good case. Though.
But they were going to buy eggs and milk. Isn't that suspicious?
Yes.
There.
You know what were they planning on doing with that?
Flan.
Imagine.
They were going to make flan.
Mexican flan. Tortillas.
Right. You know what they were going to do.
They don't do that around here.
Yeah.
Were they going to have tacos for dinner that night?
Starbucks lady, the clerk that day?
Imagine. They would be horrified. That
you're
would
not going to believe
lady.
This guy, though. This guy looked just like Reno 911. I mean, he did. It was like,
he totally does.
He should have had bicycle shorts on. And
just
it was
about.
Like,
very tight shirt,
and
you know.
As soon as she pulled out the camera and started recording him, he got all nervous. You know, he was like, well, I guess I pulled you over because you're speaking Spanish and we don't speak Spanish in Montana.
It's kind of unheard of around here.
Yeah. You know what? I hope the first lady never goes there and speaks a different language.
Has anyone asked for her ID?
Yeah. How many languages does she speak?
No, I'm serious. Has anyone asked for her ID?
Sure she has one.
Although the parents were in immigration court recently.
They were.
That would really be something if they got kicked out because of chain migration. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey, these are my in-laws. Let them stay, please.
But they are chain migration recipients, which I think is a great sort of irony in all of this.
There is something there.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
So don't buy eggs and speak a different language other than English. Got it.
Very suspicious. Oh, God. Highly suspicious.
I know.
The buying of the eggs and milk.
I don't get it.
And then the speaking Spanish. I don't know.
They'll get you in trouble.
I mean, imagine, just kind of imagine. I mean, I know there's a lot of people. Here's the issue. How many people do we have in our families who came to the United States, who grandparents or great-grandparents, or in Violetta's case, you know, same generation.
My mother.
Cousins, who didn't speak English and still spoke English, you know, they spoke little English. They weren't great at English. They didn't like English. They weren't good at languages. So they spoke their native language, and then the generation spoke a combination of things, right?
I mean, they go back and forth, sure.
In the Jewish community in America, the immigrants who came over in the 1880s and 1890s, or in the 1920s into the 30s, or post war. I mean, there's, you know, grandparents who still kind of speak a broken version of English and Yiddish together.
Sure.
Right?
You see it a lot across Chicago, a variety of languages.
Well, people are trying to preserve their cultures. Mm-hmm. At home, we were going to an American school, English-speaking school, so my parents thought, well, if we don't speak Serbian or Romanian to them at home,
it's gone.
They're going to lose it.
True.
Right. So, and then we were able to teach my parents
a little English after kindergarten.
That was helpful. Milk and eggs.
I was helping them with my worksheets.
In English, not huevos and leche. Don't do that. All right.
The problem is why that guard, was that a border guard?
Yeah.
Yeah, border guard.
Why, you know what, today he thinks he can do that. A year ago, that wouldn't have happened. But all of a sudden.
Well, they're saying that they have the authority. They're not necessarily saying this guy acted out of turn. The official
within 100 miles, I can do this.
Is saying they have the authority to question individuals, make arrests, take and consider evidence, decision to question individuals based on a variety of factors, and our border agents are well-trained.
Including speaking Spanish. And like I said, that's really
the
question America has to grapple with. That they think that a Border Patrol officer thinks that it's okay now for someone speaking Spanish to be stopped and questioned.
100 miles from the Canadian border.
Well, I guess you could use that as a defense.
Is the milk and eggs better in Canada? Is that where we're coming from?
I don't know. Let's find out. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Aaron Schlossberg, the attorney who threatened to call ICE on a Fresh Kitchen employee. This guy, he's in the news now.
Him.
Because they were speaking Spanish? See, I don't know about the Border Patrol agent, Judy, but I do know about this. This guy would have, I think, does feel less encumbered to share his thoughts than he may have 2 years ago.
It's probably true.
So he says, "You got me all wrong, America." He actually loves diversity and immigrants. Really sounded like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's decided this now because peaceful protesters have gathered outside his New York City apartment building with a mariachi band.
Oh boy.
They were quite good.
And they're playing well into the night.
About gasoline?
I always wonder what they were singing.
There is some justice in the world. Let me just say that.
You got me all wrong, man. No, I love this. Well, I was thinking about this guy's grandparents, right? Mm-hmm. Who were probably Eastern European immigrants, right? And they were probably speaking that broken English and some combination of Polish, Russian, or Yiddish, right? And what? And so where is his, where is he on this? Right? What if his grandparents or great grandparents or whatever it happened to have been?
Where is his moral compass?
Where what if they were, you know, speaking a foreign language in New York and they were told that they were gonna be thrown out of the country for doing that? Even though they were legally here.
No one was even talking to him. It had nothing to do with him. I could understand.
This was somebody practicing their Spanish with somebody behind the counter.
Right.
You realize that? That's what it was going on there?
And he just wanted to get his salad, but he was insulted because they were speaking Spanish. Isn't that
He know that that lettuce is from Mexico that he's about to eat?
Romaine?
I hope he got charged extra for that avocado.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right, and finally.
Number one.
The winner of American Idol is... Maddie Poppy. Congratulations.
Oh, you called it. You did. You said that yesterday. She's the one.
I voted for the guy that looks like me.
Caleb Lee Hutchinson?
Yeah, he's my guy.
Turns out, this is the other thing we learned last night.
What did we learn?
It turns out.
Shocking.
That Maddie Poppy and Kevin Powell Jr. Are dating.
Uh-oh.
Scandal.
Duo. When you said he looked like me, I said, the ladies must love this guy. And
turns out they're together. Now, and then the woman who came in third, the third place contestant, she's dating another guy on the show who looks like Weird Al Yankovic. I don't know what goes on there.
Oh, gee.
But it's like a whole thing.
Oh, he's the rocker.
Yeah, sort of.
From Duluth.
Yeah, but they're all dating. So, you know, these kids.
Like the Olympic athletes.
I know. They put them in a dorm, right?
Put them on the road together.
And that's what they're going to. Then they're going to put them on a bus and put them on the road for the American Idol tour. And it's going to, you know, and they end up, you know, they got hormones raging and the people start, you know, next thing you know, they're clapping.
And they're all good singers.
I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, that gets.
But they're performers, though. You know, and performers, you know, people who like to get up on stage and
they
trick
you, huh?
They tend to be a little more, performers.
More what?
You
yeah, but now that she won, that relationship's never going to last.
Oh, right.
Let the bitterness begin.
No, he's mad at her.
Now, what is interesting is, I'll tell you what is interesting, is that Disney, which now is the broadcaster, ABC is now the broadcaster for American Idol, taking away from Fox.
Right. Still got Ryan Seacrest, though.
Right.
Yes.
Which is he's a Disney guy now, right? Because he's an ABC guy. I find it very interesting. I find it very interesting that they're giving them a trip to the Disney Hawaiian Resort on Oahu. I know this sounds a little conspiratorial, but I've been around this business for a little while, and I've seen things like this happen before.
Okay.
You know, tourism is way down in Hawaii because of this volcano, and people are freaked out about, and even though this volcano has nothing to do with anything but this little slice of the big island of Hawaii where nobody but a bunch of hippies live, and when I say hippies, I mean that with love. There's this. It doesn't have anything to do with tourism in Maui or Oahu or Kauai, where all the other big tourism happens, or even on the west coast of the Big Island of Hawaii is not impacted by this. So this is, but the headlines are screwing everything up. I'm just wondering if the folks, and they're geniuses at Disney. I'm going to tell you that right now. I know this firsthand, that they thought, hey, you know what we could do here? Here's an opportunity. If these two are dating, or even they kind of like each other, they're dating, let's send them to Hawaii. And in the gigantic finale of American Idol, just to remind people, Hawaii, it's all good. Go there now.
Maybe we should go as a show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I know. I'm willing to take one sacrifice.
I'll even go near the volcano.
Yeah.
It looks very exciting there.
It does look exciting there.
No,
scary. It doesn't. It's the only natural disaster that looks pretty like this.
And it kind of moves slow.
Right. And they got all these reporters are standing there and they're all like, look at this.
Okay, those firebombs. No, we want that.
Do you have
hurt.
Any idea how big those plumes actually are in back of them? They're miles away from it. and it looks like it's, you know, towering over their heads.
Right.
Imagine how big it is if you were right up on top of it.
Mm. I mean, we can go in a nice warm bath in the ocean there where it's falling and making lays.
I think we're needed to be part of the messaging coming out of Hawaii to make sure people know
they
it's
need
okay.
Us.
We can cover it as a news story.
I'm not kidding.
Also,
I looked at flights to go there this weekend because I thought maybe there are
reasonable?
Maybe they're all half off because of the because there'd be fewer people.
Yeah,
it's still expensive.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But now when we take a group of 60 with us, that package deal.
Perfect.
That's true. You just package deal it reasonable.
Yeah.
It would take at least
Where's 60. Steve Bertrand when we need him? Get him on the Get Bertrand on the blower. All right. We'll get to your we'll get to that's it. We'll close this thing up. This is confusing cuz let me close it up. Don't anybody move.
Okay.
The top 5 at 5.